situation?
Yes, that's an alternative.
Uh-huh. And in fact, a new drug has been approved 2 years ago. I've utilized FDA approval for attempting to convert atrial fibrillation with an intravenous injection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as effective as shock, especially if the patient has been in atrial fibrillation for several hours. And so, but if a patient has recurring episodes on a monthly basis, and that's a large patient population with a problem, then the trip to the emergency room, anesthesia, electrical shock, go back home, that becomes a difficult thing to do. So there's a nuisance value. More importantly, it has become obvious in the last few years that atrial fibrillation has very serious long-term consequences, mostly stroke. The risk of stroke in patients with atrial fibrillation is enormous, and it goes up with age. So in the 60s, the incidence of stroke and the incidence of atrial fibrillation in the overall population, I should say the incidence of atrial fibrillation begins to rise to the 3, 4, 5% level. And the risk of stroke in that population can be as much as 10 times the normal population. Mm-hmm. By the time people are in their 70s and then their 80s, the risk of atrial fibrillation, the prevalence of atrial fibrillation can reach 10%.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge population at risk. And it's well known that atrial fibrillation is a cause of stroke, perhaps the major cause of stroke in the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is a problem of the fibrillating atria not vigorously contract, and there is a stasis, a pooling, a stagnation of blood, especially, I think, in the outpouching of the left atrium, and so that the blood so the coagulation can occur, thrombus can develop, which can then embolize to the brain and create. So it's more and more being recognized that atrial fibrillation should be treated.
Yeah.
And so for all of these reasons, my concept for automatic drug delivery for treating arrhythmias has focused on the problem of atrial fibrillation. The technology is there. Implantable drug pumps are on the market.
They are.
And they are used for treating intractable pain in terminally ill cancer patients, where a morphine drip is maintained continually by an implanted device.
Mm.
They've been used in the treatment of cancer, which a chemotherapeutic agent is delivered directly to the liver where cancer might be from an implanted pump. And so the hardware, there have been efforts made to develop suitable hardware.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really an area that needs a lot more development. The dream of the drug pump people, of course, is the treatment of diabetes. If you could get a drug pump with insulin on board to automatically treat the patient with diabetes, that would be a marvelous technology. There has been billions of dollars spent to develop that technology, and there are several companies involved. And they've been stymied largely by the absence of a good glucose sensor, so that you can't close the loop. You've got a pump that can deliver insulin, problem all by itself. Insulin is not an easy drug to store and deliver in an implanted pump. But the biggest problem is the measuring of glucose levels to trigger the pump. And that technology, again, has a lot of money has been invested in that technology. It's not quite there. But I think that the day is coming when implantable pumps will become more commonplace.
Uh-huh.
And maybe this particular notion, an implantable pump for the treatment of atrial fibrillation, will begin to become a little more attractive.